The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, following up on an earlier thought, is the Christian faith getting old for some of us? Is it churning along with the King of the Universe? Well, that would most definitely be our fault, because God is not boring, but we can fall into a fleshly rut. Next, changes are coming, whether we think so or not. God is at work. The time when the Lord stops working is never. He does rest, but only for our example, and not because he's tired, but those rest stops are pretty brief. And finally, stolen, broken, lost, desperate? Have our feelings been creeping to the forefront of our contemplation? Well, fair enough. Here's a significant truth to combat that creeping up. There is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you what you think. Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's not tough. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. When you call that number, 972-445-0770, it's Terrific T that answers. Let me tell you what it's like to talk to Terrific T. It's like getting a refund from the IRS. Ho, ho, ho! That's pretty good, right? At least you know that check won't bounce. All right, if you've got something you want to share, something that's on your mind, something that's on your heart, if you've got a prayer request or a praise report, if you want to answer a Bible trivia, you just want to talk about something that's going on in your life, we want to be there for you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to help you take all the necessary steps to draw closer to the Lord one step at a time. In the meantime, let's take a look at our next trivia question. Who said this? Think early on. For God doth know that in the days you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Who said that? Wow. One of two answers would be acceptable in my mind. Keeping it as simple as we can, if you want to call in, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Who said that? For God doth know in the days you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Ooh. Ooh.
That's a terrible sound effect. Ooh. Well, you know, it's our show. What do you want?
Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie artichokey, another great theological term that I've actually used in a doctorate paper. Hey, I didn't get marked off for it, so I was pretty happy. I thought he was going to go, okay, that's -5, because that's kind of silly. All right, let me talk to you about something. Let me share a scripture with you. Is everything else? We covered everything and we're good? Okay. Just shout out to Cordelia and to Joanne. You're both right. That's all I'm just going to give you that one. All right. Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. So we have somebody calling in, and we're going to have an opportunity to have them respond, give them that chance to answer the question, and then we're going to come back to this. He who is seated on the throne said, this is Revelation 21:5, I am making everything new. Just so you can know, the I am making everything new, all in the perfect present tense. Isn't that amazing? So for those that are considering, you know, Revelation, a lot of futuristic, which is obviously there's major parts that are, if not all, then that's a whole nother debate. But I am making everything new is in all tenses at all times. That's right. Work that one out. Are we ready for somebody to answer? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. I played your share with my wife last night. She was really blessed by that. So I just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. And that was encouraging for her. So I really thank you for that.
All right.
That was great. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Who said, for God doth know in the days you eat thereof that your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil?
The devil?
That is correct. And what form was he in when he did it?
I'm sorry, what?
What animal form was he in when he did that? What kind of animal was he when that came out? He was.
Oh, the serpent.
That's correct. There you go. So I'd have taken Satan or the serpent, either way, because that was kind of it's the same element as we see in the New Testament defining that. But very nice job indeed. But you nailed it down. I assume you knew that right away.
Yes, sir. I have a prayer request.
Sure.
I was wondering, my best friend had a stroke recently, and she's severely overweight and having a hard time of it, and I was just wondering if you could pray for her to get some strength from God and the courage to keep going.
Absolutely. Can we use her name, or should we just call her your best friend?
No, her name's Susie.
Susie? All right, let's pray real quickly. Let's do it right now. Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you and praise you. We thank you for Deborah. We thank you for just the audience that we have, the people that we love on and that they love on us. And we lift up Susie, who's going through a very, very tough time. We ask you to give her hope and give her a future and a confidence and a strength and energy that comes from you, that she will not be so beaten down and not be so downtrodden, but instead she would find resource, strength, thanksgiving, and the anointing and the power that comes from you, and that you would lift her up and put a new song in her mouth, put her feet upon the rock, and bring healing into her life. We ask you this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. I appreciate you. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So don't forget to keep Susie in your prayers, right? That's not difficult for people to do. Just say, oh, yeah, help that Susie girl. Help Deborah's friend, right? Not hard. All right, Revelation 21:5. He who is seated on the throne says, I'm making all things new. Is God old? No, because he's timeless. So technically, no. But is Christianity, is the faith in everything stale? That happens a lot. And you want to know why it happens a lot? Because of us. Never forget that between heaven and earth, whatever that is, whatever its locale, whatever its location, between heaven and earth, between God and you, there's a pipe. And if that pipe is clogged, it's not clogged on heaven's side. That's it. I mean, that's not rocket science, right? God's not the one that's putting out, stopping a flow from him getting into our lives. We do that. And what's amazing is that we don't even know that God's going to do new things. You think, oh, it's the same old thing in politics, the same old thing in the country, same old thing in the press, same old thing here, same old thing here. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Do you know, if you think about it and you kind of really consider it, God's like going, hey, I'm doing something. And we're like, And God's like, no, I'm doing something. Don't you get it? Don't you perceive it? Don't you see what I'm doing? Well, what are you doing, Lord? I'm making a way in the wilderness. There's in many people who feel like they're in a wilderness and nothing's getting through, God is cutting out a path. He's making streams in the wasteland. You know what a wasteland is? A wasteland is a place that has no water. It's a waste. God's saying, I'm bringing streams right through what you call a wasteland. Well, that's new. Right. And what the Lord wants us to be aware of is that he is never done in the capacity of working with us, guiding us and directing us. Even when we're all sitting there in the sweet by and by, we don't all get into a big giant bed and go nighty-night. There's stuff that the Lord has for us. We have no idea what it's going to be, but it's going to be awesome. And God is always making things new. He's doing a new thing. If you're stuck in the old, stop looking backwards. Okay? Take a break. Give your neck a break. Don't force yourself to go to a chiropractor so often. Right? Stop getting the kink in your neck by looking backwards. Stop that. That's then. This is now. Tomorrow is in his hands. Let's look at things that way. And just be aware, God's the one saying, don't you perceive it? And for too many of us, the answer is no. And we need to. When we come back, we'll dig deeper into this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve! There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Which I'd rather be in Texas than any of the other 49 states or any other countries, in fact. But we'll just move on from that. Who said, here's our next trivia question. Who said, so we just did that one, and that was the bad guy. Who said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, Jesus never. Who said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Who said that? And as a bonus, where? Nah, I'm not expecting the where, but I'm just going to leave that there. 972-445-0770. If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to call in. Plus, you can text in 214-210-8483. I'm excited to teach the rest of this message, but before we do, we have to do the very important things. The very, 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 very important things. Okay, who said, okay, I'm going to ask it again real quickly. Who said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Who said that? I'm going to leave that right there. I got a joke that I'm going to try. I have T is going to remind me. This is how taxed my brain is. I can't remember if we told this joke. And so I have one right behind it. And I'm certainly hoping that I haven't told that one. So I'm going to tell this joke, and then you can kind of let me know where I'm at, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Okay, thank you. Bunny, a pastor known for his lengthy sermons, noticed Ralph get up and leave during the middle of his message. He returned just before the conclusion of the service. Afterwards, Bunny asked Ralph where he'd gone. Well, I went out to get a haircut. But, said Bunny, the pastor, why didn't you do that before the service? Because, Ralph said, I didn't need one then. That's not bad. Is that all right? Did I tell that before?
It's hard to, like, as soon as you said Bunny, I was like, this sounds familiar.
Okay. Then let's do this one. And this is one that I think every pastor should do in the beginning of every service. Ready? One beautiful Sunday morning, Reverend Bernard announced to his congregation, my good people, I have here in my hands three sermons. A $100 sermon that lasts 5 minutes, $50 sermon that lasts 15 minutes, a $20 sermon that lasts a full hour. Now we'll take the collection and we'll see which one I'll preach. How's that? That's a good one, right? Bet you got a bigger offering then. See, that's a
huge offering.
Yeah, huge offering right there. We're out of here in 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness. All right. All right, let's go. All right, there it is again. Last time, who said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then if you know the location, that would be good as well. You don't have to, but you can call in 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. Let's go on from here. I want to be you to be aware we're talking about things that change and differences and so on. So I don't want you to misunderstand, and I don't want anybody getting the wrong idea that in some capacity we're trying to say everything is flowery and everything is Skittles and rainbows. And it's just – it's not that way. It's not been that way for anybody at any point throughout all of Scripture, starting with Adam, going all the way through – I mean, you had Enoch who lived 300 years, where there's no reason to assume that every moment of his life was cotton candy, since no other man has ever had that, or no other woman has ever had that happen. Genesis chapter 41, verses 28 through 31 are when Joseph interprets the dream for Pharaoh. And this is what he said. It's just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance of the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. Here's the thing that people miss, right? So you had 7 good years, and when you have good years in the Lord, there's very little complaining. There's not a lot of whining. There's not a lot of cheese and whining that's going on when you have good years in the Lord, right? But then when the 7 bad years come and you forget about the good years, it's like, oh, this is terrible. Blah. But even while the 7 years are taking place and the 7 bad years are taking place, watch this. Look what God is doing. This is what I want you to not miss. There's a prophetic word by Joseph. 7 years, gonna be great. 7 years, gonna be lousy. In the middle of all of this, while the bad time is here, listen to what it says in Genesis 45, 4 through 11. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold in Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over Egypt. In the midst of this prophetic dream interpretation, Joseph tells Pharaoh, gonna have 7 great years. And let me tell you something, 7 great years is a long time. Okay, that is for the average person, 1/10 of their life. But then there's going to be 7 bad years. Oh, and that's a bummer, and it's prophetic. And here Joseph is saying, okay, 2 of those 7 years have taken place, guys. But look, God sent me ahead of you to preserve you on the earth and to save your lives by the great deliverance. And so when people are sitting there and they're moaning and it's like, oh, it's tough and it's really hard, they're not aware that God is always working in ways we are not seeing beneath the scenes that our eyes understand. One of the things that I pray in my devotional time is I ask the Lord, and I know I only get bits and glimpses and little pieces, but I ask him, let me see more like you see, okay? And it's not like I'm going to see everything that God sees, but I just want to see it more from the perspective of the divine instead of just David Spoon's perspective, because David Spoon is an idiot and David Spoon's perspective is idiotic. But when I add God's perspective into it, it becomes joyous. And so even if there's 7 good years and then they're followed by 7 bad years, in the midst of the 7 bad years, God was creating a nation, a people. And he was bringing about deliverance and he was preserving them. And what we don't recognize is that even when it's bad, because of who we're dealing with, it can be good. It can turn that way because God can turn it that way. So what I want us to grasp is, let's say you're going through a hard time, and several people are. I got people that I know that we pray for physically, financially, and relationally. And I think I mentioned before that finances and relationship and physicality, those are sort of like the three. That's such a big percentage of all prayers. It's incredible. But in any other capacity that you're going through, any other stress or any other element, and stress could easily be tied to our physicality. The problem is that we get so bogged down that there's 7 years prophesied of bad, that we don't see the deliverance of God in the midst of the famine. I cannot say this line enough to make it what we all need it to be. In the midst of a famine, God created a nation. In the midst of the famine, you're supposed to just survive. You're supposed to get through it. I mean, you get through it. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, it's a bad illustration, but you got to use what you got. Sometimes I drive and there's an accident on the road. I just got to get through it, right? I just got to plow through it. I mean, you have to feel for T. She has to sit here, right? She's getting paid to sit here, but it's like she has to. It's like you have to feel for her. She got to get through it. I feel for that. I wouldn't sit through me for an hour and a half. I can tell you that. You think I'm kidding? It's like, no, I don't listen to me on the radio. I just play the very certain clips. Here's the bottom line. In the worst of it, God is still working. And you're just like, ugh. But I don't get it because there's like the world's in, starving and there's a famine and all this stuff. Yeah, but it's like, it's not like God left. He's working underneath. And our need is to have a greater confidence and a greater trust in the faithfulness of God. I mean, he did save you. He did deliver you from yourself, essentially. He did pull you off of the cruise liner that was heading into the pit of hell, and he gave you the rescue boat named Jesus Christ. And he's not just doing that. So that's the one nice thing I'm doing for you. Goodbye. That's not how it goes. He's long-term committed, so much so he became one of us. And part of his name, God is for us. Right? All right. Okay, so who said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent? The answer to that, for those who do not know, is Jesus said that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. And that ought to be the final thing to be said about Jesus never said repent. Well, this is Jesus. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, okay, I guess he did. All right, there you go. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone. What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit. And they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
It was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Baptist.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. These are all about who said. Here you go. You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Why look at us so earnestly as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? Ooh, who said that? Men of Israel, why marvel at this or look so earnestly at us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? Who said that? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Got that going. Let's do the website real quick. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and now we'll go right into history, right? Let's go right into history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple things to say. Today is Cinco de Mayo Day, so that should be a pretty good celebration, right? Today is also National Hoagie Day. I'm good for that. I like hoagies. Hoagies like subs, so I got no problems there. National Cartoonist Day. That's good if you like cartoons. I happen to be a very big cartoon fan. It is one of my great weaknesses.
Gotta love some cartoons.
Do you love cartoons? I love cartoons. It's terrible. I am still stuck in the Banana Splits when they were on and they were showing Kimba. I mean, it's just like, I'm just stuck. Or Treasure Island. Let's see if any of you guys remember Treasure Island back in the day. Uh-oh, bongo. Let's see if you remember that line. Anyhow, it's also Bike to School Day, which would not work because most of the schools don't seem like they're open. Or if they are, why are you biking to school? That's different. And then this has no bearing in any place in the universe but Oyster Day. I'm not an oyster fan. How about you?
Me neither.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm okay there. So Cinco de Mayo, today, 1904, Cy Young of the Boston Americans threw the first perfect game in the modern era of baseball on this day in 1904. And here's the last thing, and this is sad that I'm going to bring it up, but I'm going to have to bring it up. On this day in 1968, the Big Mac was introduced. For those that remember, two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. That was the commercial. It's created by a Pittsburgh franchisee, and went by the name. Original name of the hamburger was Aristocrat. It's called the Aristocrat, and then they called it the Blue Ribbon Burger, and finally they settled on the Big Mac. I only know it as Big Mac, so I can't. Okay, I will give somebody a hint on this, and then we'll get into the teaching. This statement, you men of Israel, might marvel at this. Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? That is in the book of Acts. So if that will help you, that is in the book of Acts. You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Let's get into our next section. So we've been talking about God doing new things and how God, even though our life has ups and downs. In the midst of the down times, God is more than able to coordinate and do wonderful things working behind, I wouldn't say behind the scenes, let's say in the scenes that we cannot see. God constantly working, constantly doing things. And in Genesis 46, 1 through 4, this is after Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. They go and they get Isaac, right? Okay, so this is They go and get Jacob. So they go to get Jacob, and this is what it says. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to God, his father Isaac. So this is Jacob, who's Joseph's dad. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he goes, here am I, he replied. And God said, I am God, the God of your father. Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will bring you back again, and Joseph's own hands will close your eyes. Listen to what is being promised to Jacob. Jacob has been very, very bitter because his son Joseph, he thought, was killed. Let me just say a couple of things. One, we can be in bitterness for a long time over something that's not true. Because remember, Joseph wasn't dead. His brothers made it seem like he was dead, but he wasn't dead. And so Jacob was in great bitterness. And then Benjamin, his brother, they weren't bringing him back, and he was freaking out. And then they come back to the dad and they say, come on, you won't believe it. Joseph, he's in charge there in Egypt. It's all going to be great. And, you know, he's probably, you know, a little, I don't want to say intimidated, but maybe have some reservation. And God speaks to him, shows up and talks to him and communicates to him and tells him, I am the God of your father. Don't be afraid. Now watch this. To go down to Egypt. For I will make you into a great nation there. God tells Jacob not to be afraid to go to a place that he doesn't want to go because God promises, I will be with you. Out of all the stuff that happens to you in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, if you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, if you have acknowledged the gospel, if you had confessed your sins before the Lord and asked Jesus Christ to live in your heart by faith, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, if you know that the Word of God is true, if you are confident that God loves and has given the sacrifice of His Son on behalf of those who believe that His sin, that the sin, not his sin, our sins are paid for through the blood of Jesus. If you're confident in that, God is with you even when you are facing something that seems incredibly difficult, even when you're frustrated, even when you're not sure what to do, even when you're not sure what to go, God has not abandoned you. He is not far from you. And so he makes a promise to Jacob. He goes, I'm going to go down to Egypt and I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to walk you through this. And what some of us need to stop doing is we need to stop forgetting that God is like, hey, I'm in this. I'm here. I'm a part of this. I'm with you. And God is able to take, listen to what I say, please. God is able to take disparity and turn it into blessing. What you are fearful of, what you feel like has been stolen, what you feel like has been broken, what you feel like has been lost, there is a simplistic answer that if we would just use it would really help us out, and that is Jesus is our Redeemer. That means he redeems us. What does Joel chapter 2, verse 25 say? The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. So we keep thinking, well, it's too late. There's nothing we can do. And it's like, that is never the case, because God is the master of time. And God is able to make all things change and abound. And in the midst of any kind of famine, God is working and he is making a promise. I am with you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. It's Matthew chapter 1 where Jesus is called God with us. It's Matthew chapter 28 where Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is no interruption in the commitment from God to be with you, ever. And so what we do is we think, but it's been stolen, Dave. It's been broken. It's lost. And it's like, you are not inserting God. And don't misunderstand. I do this all the time. But then God helps me set the reset button so that the picture isn't fuzzy or squiggly or whatever, and I can see more clearly God is in the picture. And then I realize, even if it's a famine, God can be creating a nation, and I don't have to be afraid. And that's what God told Jacob. Don't be afraid to go there. Want to know why, Jacob? Why, God? Because I'm with you. That's why. Because I know you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'll take care of you. But Dave, it's lost. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Think about that. Think about the graciousness of God. How fantastic. Okay, who said, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? The answer to that is the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. When he said, why are you amazed that we're doing these things? You're children of Israel. God always does amazing stuff, right? All right. Take a short break. Now we're coming back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6, 7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real, you know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, this is how the Lord hurts for you.
And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our very last trivia question in Acts chapter 1 is where you're going to find this answer. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus' ascension, what is the number of people that were gathered together waiting for the Holy Spirit? What is the number? We talked about this when we did the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, what is the number of people waiting for the promise of the Father? According to Acts chapter 1, if you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Eric, up on the board early. Good job. Let's see. I got that. I do want to do a, what is it? It is a Greek word. Yay! So we got a Greek word that we're going to do. So let's go ahead and do our Greek sound. All right. So the other day we talked about symphony, kind of like a word that has to do with union of sound. Listen to this one. This is out of James 2:22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and his faith was made whole? Working together is synergo or synergo or synergo, where we get the word synergy from sun together and ergo to work together, hence to cooperate, to help, to collaborate, to co-labor. There is a practical harmony or a synergism between the vertical faith in God and the horizontal works to a needy world. Faith is both spiritual and practical. Excellent, excellent. So the word is synergo means work together. That's what the word means. Okay, they got that. All right, finally, last thing on our trivia. We've got how many people were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 1 after the ascension of Jesus Christ and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2? How many people were there waiting? We will see if you're able to answer that. I got people coming in on the text, and if you want to call, 972-445-0770. Ready for the final, here we go, the final push, as we call it, right here. So we've been talking about old, but it shouldn't be old. Things should never be old with God. And then oftentimes we don't perceive that God is doing something while he's doing something. You just look at Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19 to get the handle on that. Then we looked at Joseph and him interpreting the dream for Pharaoh, talking about 7 good years and 7 bad years. But in the midst of the 7 bad years, God was establishing a nation, something that we didn't see, but God was working on in ways we could not understand. And then finally, we talk about turning disparity into blessing in Genesis 46, 1 through 4. God tells Jacob how he's going to pull all that off. He tells him, you're going to go down to Egypt, but man, I'm going to be with you. And it's going to be completely different. I think it's important for people to understand about God's restoration powers and that Jesus is a redeemer. I'm going to do two psalms. Psalm 71:20 says this: though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. There are times in life, that's Psalm 71, verse 20, there's times where it feels hard. It feels like there's a lot of trouble. But there's a promise and a hope, and that is that God will bring our lives up again. It'll bring us up from being down. Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. The Lord restores things. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those shows where they do the restoration and stuff. It's cool, right? Or some of that power coating that when they do that, that's cool. But the Lord does that in our lives. And what we need to remember is this principle, this key element. Nothing is too far gone for God. And when you say that to one another, you have to think, Jesus died. You can't get any clearer than that. But he was raised from the dead. You see how powerful that is? So I want to read you Psalm 30. This is the one that I really want to have us grasp. This is Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you've lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I'll never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. And you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Now, there are a lot of people out there who are listening to me right now. And you have been crying. You have been wailing. You have been wearing sackcloth. You're just trying to figure out where God is in the situation. And God replies to every one of us who go through this, I'm with you. And I'm going to take that weeping and I'm going to turn it into rejoicing. That's what God says. And I'm going to take that wailing and I'm going to turn it into dancing. And I'm going to take that sackcloth and I'm going to turn it into joy. God's going to take the hardest and the worst and the toughest and the most ferocious moments and turn it around to be the great moments of our life. When God lifts us up out of the pit, when God brings us up, our mouths ought to be filled with praises because he is delivering us by his graciousness. And he's going to take that discomfort, that weeping, that feeling of brokenness and stolen blessings and lost time, and he's going to redeem it through Jesus Christ the Redeemer, and it's never too far gone for God, and God is able to restore and to renew and to give fresh and to make it all alive. And many of us, we sit there and we say, he'll do that for everybody else, but not for me. Now, where do you think that kind of thinking comes from? Where do you think that kind of processing comes from? Is that coming from the Lord? No. Is that coming from the Word of God? No. Is that coming from the Holy Spirit? No. Is that coming from Jesus? No. Well, then it's either coming from the world, your sin, or Satan. And the reality check in this is that we have a God who's made a promise, have the God who's made the promise that we will be able to praise him. And while we have these moments of wailing and these moments of sackcloth and these moments of darkness and these moments of frustration, God has made a promise to deliver us.
Psalm 66:12 says, we went through the fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. How about 2 Corinthians 9:8? God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I think what we do is we get stuck and we get frustrated because we don't understand about the 7 years of famine, that God's working in ways we cannot see, and that things that have been stolen or broken or lost feel like they're gone forever, and it is never too far gone for God. And it doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. It only matters what God says. Everybody else's opinion is interesting. Only God's position counts. That's the only one that you have eternity to work with. So what I want you to do is seize hold of that hope, that anchor to your soul, the recognition that God makes a promise. Even though you're going through down to Egypt, I'm going to be with you. Even though there's a wilderness, I'm going to make a stream through that wilderness or that wasteland. There's going to be waters where there were no waters. And you think, well, why does he do any of that? Because he loves you. And his love hasn't changed from the first time you heard the gospel till now. Because the love of God is perfect. The love of God is mature and complete. So we need to understand that the love of God will carry us through and fill our hearts and our minds full of hope. And he will never, ever abandon you. You are never alone. Never. That's his promise. Just think, Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5. Haggai 1. I am with you, says the Lord. Good enough. That's all I need. What do I need? Just the Lord. All right, the answer to the trivia question is, how many people were left between the ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? There was about 120 people with the names and the number of names. About 120. Good job on that. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we're coming back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.